How many of you guys know the next generation has something to teach the current generation? Not a whole lot of hands, but I heard some amens. How many of you know that the next generation thinks they got a lot to teach us? I guess I'm a little on the fence about the thanks, because I can remember when cell phones started coming out, and I can remember when we got our first cell phone, and I can remember when we got our first home computer, and I had to have my children show me how to turn the computer on. There's a big button about this big that you just push, and it had a light around it, and well, I don't know, there was a lot of buttons on it. I watched a kid, probably a year and a half old, sitting there playing with a phone. The child didn't really know how to talk completely yet, but knew how to unlock the phone, knew how to scroll through the phone, and knew how to select on things. Kids know a lot more about technology than some of us, me especially. We're going to start right in with our scripture. And you see that I put something out there, so let there be some anticipation that something different is coming today. Our scripture today is 1 Corinthians 12:4-27. 1 Corinthians 12:4-27. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. This is Paul talking. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good, for the good of the people. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing, by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. As we read through this, I hope you picked up on the fact that this is current information. This wasn't something that stopped at the time of the apostles. This is something that carries through. This is promises. This is gifts of the Holy Spirit to work in the church, to work in the body. And the purpose behind these is the glory of God. Just as the body through one has many parts, but all its many parts from one form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I do not need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I do not need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part in it. Can you guess where we're going today? Every one of you has a part in this body. And God intentionally did not gift a single pastor with everything needed to make a church function. Church body is designed to need the people. We need you. If I were to lose an eye or was born without one eye, how would I see? Luckily, God designed the human body with two eyes so I could use the other one. But in God's design, two eyes give you depth perception. One eye does not. So if I had only one eye, I would not be able to tell the distance or the depth or the relation of one object to the next. In a church body, if there are no eyes, who would see the beauty of God and describe it to the rest of the body? Who would see the hand of God moving and tell the rest of the body to take notice? Something amazing is about to happen. What would a church look like that had no idea that God can and does supernaturally intervene in our human lives and conditions? If all you received from the body is that one day you will go to a new home in heaven, would that be enough to get you through the struggles of today, the struggles of tomorrow, and the struggles of the next 5 years? What if someone could help you know that God moves in our midst today, that God is more than a someday rescuer? He's a present-day rescuer. What if someone was able to show you that God's hand moves right now? And because He loves you and helped you today, He'll be there for you tomorrow too. What if someone could help you realize that God is really able and willing to move in your midst today? Would knowing that God's hand is right here, would knowing that He's right beside you in whatever you're going through, cause you to reach out to Him with full confidence? Knowing that He's got you. I don't have many stories in today because I knew with everything we had, it was going to be short on time. And you probably have already noticed that I'm a little winded because I'm trying to get everything so fast. But I have a story for you. And I know Linda's sitting in the back saying, I wish you didn't say that because now I got to edit that out. But how many of you have someone close to you that has food allergies? Okay. So you're gonna be able to relate with a little bit what I'm about to say. So there's this person that has a food allergy. And as you know, if you know somebody with a food allergy, you know they can be pretty severe, almost life-threatening for some people. And so this person has this food allergy, has had it for a while, and went out to eat and ordered food that should have been fine. But it wasn't. The wrong food came, and the person didn't know it, and ate the entire meal. And then realized that there was something wrong with the food that they were eating, and started getting really nervous about what was going to happen. When this happened, I got a text message that this certain person had eaten the wrong foods and eaten a lot of it, and wasn't sure what was about to happen. and would I pray? And so me and several of our board members or our prayer team members started praying for this person. And this person went through the whole day without a single sign of sickness. Went through the whole next day without a single sign of sickness, and the whole next week without any sign of sickness. Just to keep us alert that this wasn't a fluke, about 3 months later, this person was out eating again and happened to get some food that they weren't supposed to have. And this time, instead of the whole meal being this wrong food, there was just some crumbs of the wrong stuff in it. And this person ate the meal and realized that these crumbs were in it and stopped eating and got very sick for several days. Now, why did God heal in the one time and not on the next time? Why did God protect this person in one instance and not the next? Not necessarily because of prayer alone. I believe that prayer helped. But sometimes God allows us to experience something to remind us that He was with us and that He is with us. Sometimes if we see everything as perfect all the time, we forget that we need God. What if you knew that God's hand was right here? In that situation, people that were praying and the people that were around this person got to see God's hand move in this person's life and recognize by the next time that the small portion made them so sick, but the big portion didn't cause any issues. They got to see God's hand move in that person's life. And so now going forward, they have the opportunity to recognize that God is present, and you can call on Him. You didn't see this happen. You're only hearing me tell you about it. But can you recognize God's hand? It moves in our lives today. What if our church body only had one eye? Reception would be off. Perception would be off. The depth of what's happening would be harder to comprehend, if not impossible to distinguish. If one eye keeps registering miracles, could it be misunderstood that the miracles are flat and this one person gets miracles, but the rest of the people don't? Could a second eye really change the scene and show the depth of the miracles? Could it show that it's not just one person, but it's God's hand and God's love and God's mercy moving all around us? Would it show that miracles are happening all around us and not just for specific people? Could the depth of this truth bring joy to your heart? Could it bring peace in knowing that if God did it for this person, He can do it for you too? If you knew that God's hand moves near you too, would it bring you peace in whatever you're going through? What would the eyes of the church body do for the other parts if they all worked together? What would our body see? What depth would be perceived? We need eyes to see. We need at least two to have good perception. Likewise, a church body needs people to see the beauty of God in the day and people who see the hand of God moving. These people are constantly reminding the other parts of the body of all the good things that are happening around us. We need people like this to remind us of the good things that are happening around us and that it could be yours too. These are the eyes. Are you an eye of our church? I'm getting close on time, but I listed some other things, so I'm going to go real quick through them. What about helping hands? Are you a hand of the church? Do you go around helping with whatever a person needs? We have a couple of people in our church, one that comes to mind specifically, that every time in our prayer chain there's an issue, somebody's going through something, they're right there, every single time to help out. No matter what's going on in their life, they're always there to help out. Are you a helping hand? What about the arms? Well, what do the arms do? The arms are constantly pushing people away from what's not good for them and pulling people towards God. Are you an arm? Are you constantly trying to help people and guide people? Are you pushing and pulling people? Are you an arm? What about ears? Are you the ears of the church that hear God's voice and say, I believe God is calling us to do this. I believe God has said, not this direction. I believe that I've heard God. Are you ears of the church? How about lips? Are you a prophet? Does God speak to you messages to help lead people? Are you lips for the church? How about a back? What would a back do? Think about if you break your back. Not like physically break your back, but I know I've said to a lot of people, oh, you're killing my back. You're carrying a load. Are you always carrying weight around for people? Are you a back of the church? We have some people that are the backbone of our church. How about heart? Are you the heart that nourishes the rest of the body? You think about a human heart, it sends the blood out through the rest of the body, nourishes all the other organs, all the other parts of the body. Are you a heart in the church? Are you constantly nourishing other people? Do you see somebody who's weak, who's not getting what they need, and who's struggling, and you go to that person? Are you a heart for the church? Two more. Legs. Are you legs of the church? Do you go to people on a regular basis? There's one specific person I'm thinking of in our church that is always on the go for the gospel of Jesus. Are you legs for our church? And feet. Feet took me a minute to think about what would feet be. But if you think about a person losing a foot or losing a toe, what do they lose with it? Their stability. They can't stand anymore. They have to learn how to shift their weight differently. Are you the stable person in the church who keeps the church going in the right direction? Are you the feet? What part of this body did God design you to be? We need you. Or things around here won't be as good as they could be. It takes more than one person. God designed us for each to carry specific parts in the church body. He didn't want the body to be one person. It's not designed to look like an eyeball. It's not designed to look like an ear. It's designed to be a body with multiple parts working together. People learn to walk without legs. People learn to get along without fingers, hands, and arms. But rarely are their abilities just as good without those body parts. Our church body is not as good as it can be when we're operating with missing body parts. I have three things that I'm going to ask of you today. Number one, if you're holding back a gift that God has given you and you see our church body fumbling in this area, would you please come talk to me? Maybe you're not ready yet to step in and do a part in the church body, but you have skills that God gave you in an area that we could use some help in. And maybe you can give some advice right now to help us start progressing along in that area. Number two, would you start today praying for the parts of the body that we're missing? Today, our church is on that level of where our higher numbers are right now. And I'm very grateful that each and every one of you came out today to be a part of this. But there's still some parts of our body that we're missing. When I first came here, I shared that I believe God wants this church body to consist of 187 people on any given Sunday. We got a little bit of ways to go, but I believe God will get us there. Here's two parts that we need right now. Two parts of our body that are missing that we need right now. And I'm asking you to pray for them. We need more hearts for children and youth. A year and a half ago, we didn't have children or youth in here. Now we got Ezekiel and we got Isaac and we got Vasily and we got Zane and sometimes we have other people coming and visiting our church and those are opportunities for us to share the love of Christ with a child. And whatever a child is going to face today, knowing that God is with them, no matter what they're going to face. We need more hearts for children and youth. And the second one, we need someone with a gift for drawing tired people into worship. Number three, would you unite with the other parts of our body? We're almost done. Would you unite with the other parts of our body? Scripture says a body divided cannot stand. I don't know of any real divisions in our body, but God knows if you're holding something against a brother or a sister in the fellowship. And God's word says, forgive them. He says, forgive them. God doesn't need us to hold prisoners for Him. He's calling us each to show the same mercy that He shows us. Was your debt forgiven? So that was number one. Will you be a part of our body, a part of the body that's missing? Even if it's just for a little. Number two, will you pray for God to send the parts of the body that we're missing and pray every day until it happens? And number three, will you be an agent of unity in our body, showing love, kindness, mercy, and forgiveness, and calling others to do the same? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for this message and everything that was going on. Lord God, You put this message in my heart before this crazy week even started. And so I knew the direction You were going, and with everything else going on, I could still meditate on where You were taking us today. And I thank You, Lord God, for Your faithfulness in delivering a message to Your people. I thank You for each person that's here today, Lord God. I thank You for their hearts. I thank You for their desire to know more about You. And Lord God, I ask that You touch our hearts and open our hearts and open our minds to receive what You had for us in this message today. Continue to work in each person, Lord God, and whatever they're going through in life, help them to see Your hand. Help them to have confidence, full confidence in You, Lord God, that no matter what they're going through, You're there with them. And if You're allowing this into their life, there's something that You're leading them through or to by allowing this. Lord God, help us and guide us. Lord, You know as well as we do that there's parts of our body that we need more of in our fellowship. And so we call out to You, Lord God, send the parts that are going to bring us to the next level. Send the parts of our body that we're missing so that we can reach the more people that You have waiting to come to this fellowship, Lord God. I believe that You put on my heart 187 people, and that means that there's 150-some people that still need to come to our fellowship. And Lord God, I know that as we're faithful with little, You will bless with more. And so I ask You, Lord God, help us to be faithful. Help us to be confident in You. Help us to reach for the people that You're calling us to reach for, and grow our body, Lord God. Grow our body to be able to carry the new people that are coming, that are broken, and will need help to just stand up and look at the next day. Grow us, Lord God. And Lord God, I thank You for the new members that have come and become a part of our church family and our fellowship and the direction, the vision that You've put in our hearts to move. I thank You for them, Lord God. And I ask You to continue working in the hearts of the people. Draw more people to stand up with us, Lord God, and put their gifts and talents into work the way You designed for this church body. Guide them, Lord God. Whoever You're working on, Lord God, continue to work in their heart and lead them. And lastly, Lord God, I ask you to revive the excitement in your church body, not just this church body, but your church body across the world. Revive the excitement of what you do in our lives. Lord God, there's no greater advertisement of anything than word of mouth. Revive the excitement in our hearts of what you're doing in our lives, Lord God. Help us to be so excited about seeing your hand move that we can't help but tell other people, just like in the Bible stories, where people saw great things or heard your voice and ran around telling people. Lord God, revive the excitement of what you're doing in your body of believers. Lord God, we're about to enjoy some fellowship and some food. And so I ask you at this time to bless the food that we're about to eat, nourish our bodies through it, and bless the time that we're about to spend together. Nourish our souls, Lord God, through this time. In all of this, Lord God, I thank you. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we all thank you. Amen.